Sick Boy Podcast is a health and comedy show about what it's like to be sick. Wait, is that right? How can illness be funny?
You'd be surprised.
Okay. Sick Boy is hosted by
me, Brian Stever.
And me, Taylor McGilvery.
And myself, Jeremy Saunders.
Come on in and join us to melt your heart, learn something fascinating, and bust a belly laugh. Trust us, you'll be glad you did.
You can find Sick Boy on the CBC Listen app or wherever you get your pods.
This is a CBC podcast.
First day of at a new preschool, we got up, and I think he was obviously feeling like a lot of things, and so I got all ready, and then I was like, okay, are you ready? And it's exciting. But he was very, like, resistant, took a long time to get things done, and, like, I think I said something, like, I was getting to a point, and I'm, like, 5 seconds away from, like, losing it.
This is Other People's Problems, a show about therapy. I'm Hillary McBride. This episode, we're going to hear from Patty. We've changed her name to protect her privacy.
And then his response was like, okay. Mm-hmm. But very, like, dismissive. And then he was just very frustrated with me, and I, like, left to catch my breath or whatever. And he did a really nice job, like, was lying on the floor. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, probably feeling a little bit nervous for preschool or whatever. He's doing it because I blew it, because I can't get my shit together about feeling like I need to get out of the house, I need to get to work, and take pictures, and, like, do all this stuff. And so I, like, took a breath, and then was able to, like, re-engage, but I was, like, I'm frustrated or whatever, and he's like, yeah. But I feel like I really needed help.
Patty's a woman I've been working with for a few years. Patty went back to school, and that was really difficult for her husband at that point, because it felt like she was taking away something from him that he had previously had, all of her full attention. And then he had a critical health incident, which made her the caretaker at one point. And in the aftermath of that health incident, they're realizing that there are some existing issues about how they share time and energy and what level of vulnerability they have with each other, and how hard it is to feel close when you're working really hard to feel good enough in the world.
We went to the beach, and I said, it was like 1:30, and I said, we need to leave at 2:30. I really need your help in terms of getting all the stuff organized to make sure that we have everything we need. Can we please do it at 2? He's like, yeah, that sounds good. Great. And I come to him again. I was like, hey, it's 10 to 2. Just want to, like, check in, let you know, in 10 minutes we need to pack everything up. Yeah. 2, still on the computer, like, looking at Craigslist. Hey, it's 2. So he's like, yeah, you get started and then I will get there. So I pack everything we need for beach. I pack, like, his bathing suit, my bathing suit, all 3 towels, sunscreen, books for me to read, books that I know he's reading, like, all this kind of stuff. Oh, and I said, we're bringing cheese to contribute to this picnic. And he's like, well, that's not good enough. And I said, what should we bring? And he's like, well, I'll make a Caesar salad. You know, I said, great, we'll get everything organized. Everything's in the car. Everything's all ready to go. And then he, like, freaked out about, and I went in to check on him, and he's like, he was frustrated and yelled at me because I didn't help him when he needed help, you know? And he's like, you're just sitting in the car singing karaoke or whatever while I'm trying to do all this stuff. And I said, I did all this other stuff. And he's like, yeah, but just because you did all that doesn't mean you're done. But so then there's this parallel of us being like, we need help and we have specific things in our mind that we need help with. But we have no, like, we either don't communicate that.
Yeah.
Or we think we do and the other person doesn't pick it up. And so apparently constantly feels like we're never a good team because I don't do anything to help him.
Hmm.
I constantly feel like I'm doing everything and he's doing the bare minimum but then getting angry.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I set him, like, up for success with all of these, like, check-ins that I think are helpful and he finds annoying and frustrating. You know, like, I almost feel like because he is supposed to make dinner. And then I do, like, cleaning up of dishes, and I almost feel like saying, like, can you help with dishes? Because just because you did dinner doesn't mean you're done. Like, almost like I want to, like, be a bitch to him because I'm so, like, I'm not winning at anything.
Like, I'm trying to do the adult, emotionally regulated, mature version, and it's not.
That's right.
Helping.
That's right. So I'm going to be this, like, petty child. Like, it's like I feel like I need to match.
Yeah.
Like, he came out to, like, hand me forks, and I, like, put my hand out, and he, like, drops them, so they drop on the floor, like, outside the car. Why did Dad do that? He's mad. And so then when he got into the car, he's like, Dad, why are you mad? I just don't feel like going to the beach anymore or whatever. Well, you said you did it before. Anyway, so all of that to, like, he can't do things without 100% of my physical and emotional support backing him for everything.
And what's the impact of that on you?
Well, it would be okay if the opposite could be true.
Okay.
But I feel like that, like, as soon as I have unfavorable emotions, I've ruined everything for him.
Mm.
And here's what I'm like. So after we had, like, a bit of cool down, I sort of was like,
okay. This morning?
This morning. Mm. I was trying to find my freaking phone. And it's on airplane mode, so we can't call it. And this is like, I'm just going to bawl my eyes out because this is the stupidest thing, but it's so upsetting to me. But every year we do the summer reading club, and we get his, like, reading guide, and we fill it in every year, and then we go, like, weekly to the library and get stickers, and then at the end of the summer, then he goes and gets a medal. And this week, we're supposed to go, and I can't find this thing anywhere. We've filled it out all summer, and, like, have gone every week and gotten his sticker for every week. And, like, I'm going to go, and they're just going to give me this medal. Like, they're not going to care. But I feel like, so out of, like, when I can't find something, and when I can't be perfect, I'm like, I just feel so, like, out of control. But I feel like that's the expectation. Like, the expectation is that as well.
The real issue that brought her into therapy is that she feels like she has to be perfect all the time. And she's also in this marriage where that expectation is sometimes put on her as well. And so she's wrestling with what it's like to feel like that pressure is put on her, but also like she puts that on herself. That's at the essence of what it means to be human for so many people, that they feel like unless they're perfect, that they failed.
So expected from others, expected from yourself, and now feeling like not meeting that expectation, and it is...
Oh, it feels bad, like a failure.
Failure, shame, I'm not enough.
I'm like, I feel like a horrible mom. I can't give my kid that damn medal. And he's like, I just feel so much like shame.
Yeah, and you probably know this, too, that it's not about the reading guide, right? But there's just a lot of feeling like not enough right now.
Yeah.
It's heavy today.
Yeah. Like, and even, like, when I miss the mark in terms of supporting emotionally, which I feel bad about today.
Yeah. But what I'm really hearing is that you have worked so hard. You've worked so hard to clean up everybody's mess and even to be proactive with the packing for the beach. You have worked so hard after long days, in the middle of the night, first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And you rescued situations and people, and you've given more than anyone asked you to, which is probably part of it. You've maybe given more than you had capacity for. And in some situations, you don't really have a choice. That's parenting.
Yeah.
But then after all of that, who's there to meet your needs?
Yeah, nobody.
And the truth is, nobody in this situation could have loved you the way that you loved them because you were superhuman. And you're actually probably doing more than maybe at points was healthy. Because you're rescuing everybody and then upset when they don't rescue you back, and that's not their job. But But maybe another part of you is just saying, I just want some mutuality. I just want to feel loved and known.
Yeah.
And be seen for how much I give. And so I hear that it just feels like a slap in the face after how much you give to not get those things back.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Enneagram?
You sent it to me, I think.
Yeah. I'm certain I know what
okay.
your type is.
Okay. So the Enneagram is a 9-number personality typing system. Instead of thinking about each number representing the fullness of a person, I think about that being a way of understanding the basic motivations that we have as humans and what that does in shaping our behavior and our relationships. And each of those different numbers makes sense of the way that we do relationship and the choices that we make and some of the barriers that we have in connecting with other people or what some of our strengths and weaknesses are.
The reason why I bring this up is because I'm the same number and I just hear so much. I just hear so much of stuff that I've worked through in this, in you, and some pieces of insight that I've come up with lately have been so helpful in reconciling this. But type two is sometimes called the giver or the helper.
Yeah.
And they're known for being like the always knowing what everyone else needs, anticipating it, going in, helping. Every type has like giftings and strengths. Every type has a downside. And unfortunately, the thing that is often characteristic of the giver helper type is, yes, always knowing what everyone needs and doing it. But there is a string attached, and the string attached is often, and I want to be loved because of it. Don't you see how good I am at seeing everyone else's needs and meeting everybody else's needs? And then the other side of it, which is like, and now please meet mine because I desperately want to feel enough, and I want to feel enough because of what I do, but I also want to feel enough because I'm loved back in the same way. And I just think about the context about you always being the good one and the one who had it together. And how that has been such a way that you've been validated, but also minimized in your family.
Yeah.
It's your calling to help. But maybe we can't expect other people to see everything the way that you see it.
What if someone you love asks you to help them die? What would you say? This is the powerful question at the heart of The Ultimate Choice. The series follows the journey of Michael and his wife Anne as they grapple with his request to choose the way he wants to die. I'm Rob Cribb, and through their story, I learned a lot about my own family. I hope the show is a way to start conversations many of us want to have, but rarely do. The Ultimate Choice is out now.
Yeah, and I just get hung up then in terms of, so what is mutuality within our partnership?
I think mutuality is each of you with humility seeing that you could love the other person better. Yeah. And that is painful for me to say, knowing that you might hear something like, you're not already doing that.
No, well, I don't know. Really, and this is where maybe this pride is coming out. Don't judge me. but like, wouldn't you want to go to the beach and somebody says to you, everything's all patched, you're all good, let's go.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe I'm just on my high horse right now.
Maybe you want that. Maybe you do for other people what you want, and maybe that's not what he wants.
Yeah, maybe.
Thanks.
Yeah, maybe he doesn't
like, care. That's probably true. That's why he doesn't care to be thankful. Great.
What? Okay, tell me what's going on for you. What's great?
Well, that's sarcastic, but I'm frustrated.
Yeah, what's frustrating about that?
Well, it just seems very, like, if the possibility that he doesn't actually care, then it's all in vain. And then I'm just doing nothing, something for nothing.
Okay, what are we learning about you?
What,
you were doing something for something.
For something transaction.
Yeah, and maybe you want to feel valuable and you want to convince him that it's valuable. And maybe maybe you're working really hard to earn something. And maybe it's okay for you to just be you and you don't have to help and fix everything and do everything ahead of time all the time.
I just feel like the opposite doesn't work either.
Okay, so what, if that's true, how do you want to live your life? If you're going to get up, if someone's going to be upset at you either way, like what are you more,
right? What, like, feels worse?
Yeah, but not, no, what feels, what's more sustainable? What has more integrity? What makes you more proud of who you are just for the sake of it? What's coming up there?
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel all the things.
Yeah.
I'm mad and I'm sad and it's hard to... I just feel stuck sometimes.
Is it holding you accountable to your caregiver side? Or some way of saying that, because I think your heart is good and you work really hard and you should be valued for the work that you do. And so I feel like what would be easier for me would be to say, you should get everything, you should have him be exactly like you, because then wouldn't that be perfect? Because you're perfect. And one part of me as a two, as someone who knows what it's like, is like, yes, that's right. Everyone be like us, because we're perfect as caregivers. Isn't it so altruistic how we live our lives? But the other part of me wants you to grow into a version of yourself that knows you are lovable. Even if you lay in a heap on the floor and you never packed the bag. In a way, he has a sense of entitlement that you have never known.
Yeah. Because his mom did it and then I want to do it.
But there's an expectation that, like, of course my needs will be met. And you've never known that. Like, he knows something about relationship that he has to teach you.
Ooh. What's that face you're saying?
You bitch.
I know you are. I know you are.
Yeah, and that's good.
I think as I'm challenging her and asking her to reflect on actually what she can learn from her husband, I saw in her face this look of frustration, anger, irritation, even defensiveness, as perhaps I'm forcing her to see a reality that she didn't really want to have to admit. But then we laugh about it together because her heart is so good and we have such a good connection that even when she's frustrated with me in a moment, and I can see that on her face, that we can acknowledge that that's something that will come up and then pass, and we'll have a chance to work through whatever came up together. I often explain that to clients by saying, what feels uncomfortable and painful often has something to do with pain that we carry from a long time ago about how we were treated in relationships. We were told, perhaps, that we can only be lovable to someone if we're perfect. And so for me to say to a client, I care about you and I value you and I can still see the things that you need to do differently and I can still see that you're good enough just as you are, that's very confusing to them and it's disruptive to the inner narrative that they've had of themselves for their whole life.
I think it becomes exacerbated because I don't have a lot of other relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I just feel like I put all of my eggs in one basket in terms of any kind of like mutual relationship at this point.
Yeah. But you know, what's happened is through this conversation, it's already becoming more mutual because we're creating an opportunity where you are modeling, even you are not exempt from learning from the other person. And that's something he needs to learn too.
Yeah.
And so by acknowledging this stuff, this really hard stuff, which is that maybe you could do things differently, you are creating an opportunity for more mutuality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I see is like when he loses it, but then also like that he wakes up late, mm-hmm. has naps during the day, does whatever he wants. Like mm-hmm. does whatever he wants.
Yeah, so maybe what you need to do is you need to learn how to ask for what you need better.
But there's also this, like, because I already have shame about asking for help. So even when I, like, lose it and, like, could not regulate myself when I was, like, cutting, there was, like, you cannot do this. This is, like, self-harm and you cannot do this. But anytime I've ever said anything negative about drinking, which I believe is equally self-harming. And so even this, like, you can't feel because it affects me so much.
Let's reframe the you can't do this from you're not allowed to feel and be a mess or whatever it sounds like.
Yeah.
Let's reframe that to you are deserving of having a life that is so much more than that. And so when I ask you to take responsibility and to make changes, one, you don't have to do them, and I'm just a consultant, and you can be angry at me, and that's okay too. But what I'm saying is I believe that you are only really free when everybody else's actions aren't the thing that controls your ability to be well in life. Him on the shelf, your son on the shelf. You deserve to feel better. So I know it's more work, but it also takes a lot of energy to do the wrong thing and then clean up the mess or to stay stuck in your pain. Like, life takes energy. It demands something from you. But it's okay to not like it right now, too.
No, but I understand that it's movement towards growth, and so I have a hard time taking it, but I also appreciate it. Yeah, I'm just glad that I have somebody to talk to.
Does anything feel unfinished or like that hurt? Is there hurt? Did I hurt you?
No, I can. Yeah, it's hurt at the time, I think. They see that you just want the best, and which I appreciate. And
so it hurts, but it's not irreparable hurt, or didn't feel malicious?
No.
Okay. So we can hold space for the fact that this hurt, but also know that our kind of our attachment bond is still there. Okay. But just know that you're loved and you're enough, and that I'm on your team. And then I want you to feel safe here, and I also want for you to feel like you can bloom into this radiant, powerful woman that you are.
Did you feel okay that I was angry?
Mm-hmm. I can hold that. That's not your job to worry about that. And it would never change how I feel about you and my ability to hold that. And you can still be angry or hurt next time I see you. It doesn't have to go away. It's not going to change how I feel about you.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. So it's mutual.
I'm Hillary McBride. Other People's Problems was created and produced by Jody Martinson, co-produced and original music by Lee Rosevere. Arif Narani is the executive producer of CBC Original Podcasts. If you like what you're hearing, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. You can find more episodes, plus exclusive digital extras at cbc.ca/OPP, and join the conversation with us at CBC Podcasts on Twitter and Facebook.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.